Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast with Pastor Lawson Perdue.
And I'm sure you'll learn some good things, praise God. A couple of special things coming up. Next week on Wednesday night, we're going to have Max Cornell. So Max was my associate pastor for 3 years. He's getting ready to celebrate 5 years in Kansas City. We sowed him. Praise God, sowed some seed into him. We helped him buy a church. And I'm going out there in September to dedicate their church for their fifth anniversary. But he'll be here Wednesday night. Phenomenal teacher of the word. We also have our special youth outreach night and kids night. So we'll have a lot of people. It'll be awesome next Wednesday night. And then Ashley and Carly Terrades are having their CURE conference here. And that starts Thursday. Next Thursday is April 22nd. So mark your calendars. I'm treating that just like it's my own meeting. So I'm going to be here sharing at it, but mark your calendars and come for that. We want to support them. They've been a tremendous blessing to us here at the church. We really appreciate them. It's going to be a phenomenal conference. So it'll be Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning. Am I right? Okay. Praise God. I do so much sometimes it's hard for me to keep up with myself. Okay. God is so good. Amen. So mark those two things this coming week. It's not this week, but the following week. Wednesday night, then Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning. Praise God. I guarantee you won't be disappointed if you love the word. Amen? Praise God. So we're going to talk about knowing God's voice, hearing God's voice, knowing God's will. Praise God. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Praise God. My sheep hear my voice. How many of you are the Lord's sheep? He's the shepherd and we're the sheep. Praise God. My sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. We hear the voice of God. The fact is that God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? He said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them." You know, a lot of people say, "I know God." But does God say, "I know you"? You know, the scripture says this about Abraham. God said, "I know Abraham, that he will command his children after him." In other words, a lot of people might say they know God, but does God say, "I know you"? Praise God. And then he says, "They follow me." When we hear his voice, he knows us and we follow him. You know, Jesus said this in the Gospels. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." But I like to say, "Follow me and I will make you." Because if you follow Jesus and he makes you, whatever he wants you to be, you will become a fisher of men. Praise God. I believe God calls people in all walks of life, different areas, and wherever we're at, we can make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe the way that we're going to make the greatest difference is when we all hear God's voice clearly and we obey him. Praise God. You know, the Bible says this in Isaiah 1:19. It says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land." And our life should look so starkly different than the world's. People ought to be able to tell there's a difference in us. Amen? Because of Jesus, because we have a relationship with Jesus. We have a covenant with God. And he speaks to, you know, life isn't fair, guys. Life isn't fair. We have an unfair advantage. We have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And if you listen to the Holy Ghost will make you look smart. Praise God. You don't have to be a victim. You're a victor in Christ. Amen. You know, yesterday I went out for a walk in the afternoon and I got a neighbor and he really needs to know Jesus. But I've been working. I believe God planted me next to him. Praise God. We were moving in. He said, "What's going on?" The men's fellowship was helping me move. They said, "We're moving in our pastor." He said, "I hate preachers. I believe God put me right there just for him." Praise God. And so, you know, he drove in, he has lots and lots and lots of millions. He's very wealthy physically. right? Very poor spiritually. But I believe Jesus put me there. And so he drove in a nice new truck. I went over and told him, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. I'm prosperous. I'm blessed. I said, I am too. I said, you know, it's easier to prosper than be poor. He said, it sure is. Praise God. He said, it's hard to be poor. I said, it sure is. It's way easier to be prosperous than it is to be poor. Praise God. Then I just walked on down the road. You know, I'm trying to get a little word to him once in a while, encourage him. Praise God. The other day he was going to be flying out right before a snowstorm. He has a really nice place in Scottsdale. So I said, angels watch over you. He said, God watches over you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I went walking from there and I went on down the road. We have one of these super saints in the neighborhood, you know, does all the prayer walks all the time. They come walking by. So she said, how's it going? I said, oh, Jesus is really good to me. She said, well, a lot of us Jesus people been having lots of battles. I said, listen, I've got a few battles. The devil tries to knock me down, but Jesus gets to keep picking me up. Praise God. The devil puts me down, Jesus picked me up. The devil put me down, Jesus picked me up. Praise God. I can't lose for winning. Praise God. But you know, it's all what you have your eyes on. And so many people are looking so much at the battle rather than looking at Jesus. They're listening more to the devil, talking more about the devil than talking about God. And here's my neighbor that really needs to know Jesus, and he's talking more about the, you know, blessing. And I said, God's good to you. Amen. I left. I said, God's good to you. Amen. Praise God. And then I'm with this super saint, and they're talking all about the devil. What's wrong with this picture? You know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4, verse 4. Then it tells us how to do it. In verse 8, it says, whatever's good, whatever's lovely, whatever's honest, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, if it's just, if it's pure, think on these things. You got to learn to focus on the good. That's all extra. Praise God. But the fact is, God is speaking. Are we listening? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Many of you know the story of Samuel. Hannah prayed to God for a son. She was barren. She had no children. And so God gave her a son. And when he was born, she dedicated him. She said, I am going to give him to the Lord all the days of his life. So at a very young age, she took Samuel to the temple and she gave him to Eli the priest. And Samuel became a servant of the Lord. This is talking about this. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Your first ministry should be to Jesus. If you'll minister to Jesus first, then minister to one another in the body next, then minister to the world, you won't burn out. The problem with people that are burned out in the body, they've got their eyes on all the problems of the world. They haven't been ministering to Jesus. They haven't been staying connected in the body, and therefore they run out of gas. But if you'll minister to Jesus, stay connected in the body, you'll have something to share with the world. You won't burn out. Samuel ministered the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. There was no widespread revelation. It came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim. He could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called to Samuel, and he answered and said, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for you called. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. You know, we need to develop our ear to hear the voice of God. My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We need to develop our ear. The Lord called to Samuel again in verse 8, the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, said, here I am. For you called me, and Eli perceived that the Lord called the child. And Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it will be, if he call you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, and Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered and said, speak, for your servant hears. God is speaking. Are we listening? Now, generally, when God speaks, he doesn't speak audibly so everybody can hear. There's a couple of exceptions. You know, when Jesus was baptized, God spoke from heaven, said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You can find it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. When Jesus was transfigured in Matthew chapter 17, God spoke from heaven. Elijah was there. Moses was there. Peter, James, and John were there. Jesus was transfigured. God spoke from heaven, said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. In other words, you know what? It's not about the law. It's not about the prophets. It's about Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The law pointed to Jesus. The prophets prophesied of the grace that was to come in Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Jesus has something to say. Praise God. But those are exceptions. You know, the fact that the glory of God was revealed in Christ's life a couple of times where everybody could see it, that wasn't the everyday happening. That was an exception. And what made it an exception was if Jesus walked around in the glory all the time, it wouldn't have taken faith to believe in him. But there were a few times the glory was manifested and people saw it, but most of the time the glory wasn't manifested. So most of the time when God speaks to you, he speaks to you in the still small voice. He speaks to you individually. And you need to develop your ear to hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel in verse 11, 1 Samuel 3:11, behold, I'll do a thing in Israel which the ears of everyone who hears shall tingle. In the day I perform against Eli all these things which I've spoken concerning his house, when I begin, I will make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. This was a sad thing. But Eli had two sons. Their names were Hophni and Phinehas. Marilyn Hickey said that's mouth and fist. One of them was always running off the other mouth. The other one was always fighting. Now they were getting in adulterous relationships. They were doing all kinds of ungodly things. And Eli would not judge them. He says, I've told him I'm going to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons are vile. Therefore, I've sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house will not be purged with sacrifice or offering. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to show Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He said, here I am. He said, what is the thing the Lord has said to you? I pray you, do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things he said. And Samuel told him every bit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good. So Samuel already knew this was going to happen. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. Praise God. Samuel heard the word of the Lord. Samuel spoke the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to pass. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet to the Lord. Now, my third aspect, first of all, we need to develop our ear to hear the voice of God. Praise God. You know, the Bible says this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delights in his way. So we've got to develop our ear to hear the voice of God and to know the will of God. Praise God. Then it's revealed to us individually. Generally, when God speaks to us, he speaks to us as individuals. He speaks, it's the still small voice. And you develop your ear to hear that voice of God. Amen. Speaking to you. The third thing is this. You don't have to be a prophet to hear the voice of God. See, in the Old Testament, they had prophets. They were called seers. And prophets operated in the word of wisdom. It was a specific word of God's wisdom about the future. They operated in the word of knowledge. It's a specific word of God's knowledge about something in the present or past that cannot be known naturally. It's not just wisdom and knowledge. It's a specific word of God's wisdom, a specific word of God's knowledge. Another of the seeing gifts, the gifts of revelation, is the gift of discerning of spirits, to discern the presence or activity of a spirit, whether it's good or evil. Praise God. Now we have the gifts. That's one way that we can hear God. I'm going to talk in just a little bit about different ways that we can hear God's voice, because God is speaking and we want to hear what he says. Praise God. Now look at verse 21. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is really interesting, because when you begin to read about Shiloh, Shiloh was a place that Samuel went and Samuel ministered regularly. It's like he had a circuit that he went around and he shared and he ministered. And Shiloh was one of these places. I think Samuel is the father of what we know today as the modern day church. Praise God. Now we know the church was born in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, right? Praise God, when the Holy Spirit was poured out 50 days after Passover, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the Holy Spirit was poured out. That's where the church was born, but Shiloh's like an Old Testament type of what was going to come. It's just my thinking. Praise God. So God is speaking. Are you listening? The second thing is, what are different ways that God speaks to his people? How can we know God's will and hear God's voice? Well, the first one is, we know God's will and we hear God's voice through the word. God speaks to us through his word. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 24, verse 35. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall endure forever. Thank God that we have the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. And when Peter's saying that we have a more sure word of prophecy, he's talking about when Jesus was transfigured before them, Moses and Elijah were there speaking with him. He says the Bible that we have is more sure than that. Thank God we have a roadmap to navigate life. The entrance of thy word, David said, gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Job said, I esteem your words more than my necessary food. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the word of God. Paul told Timothy, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. How do I know what I believe? I know what I believe because of what the Bible says. How do I know what I believe about human sexuality? Because of what the Bible says. How do I know what I believe about marriage being between one man, one woman, and God? Because of what the Bible says. Praise God. Because of what the word of God says. How do I know what I believe about creation? Because of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I believe the scriptures. We believe the scriptures are inspired. Peter said the inspired word of God, the scriptures that way. And we didn't have the New Testament then. He said, that is more sure than Jesus standing in our midst, being transfigured, Moses and Elijah appearing before him, and God speaking from heaven. Thank God for the word of God. It's given. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Praise God. It's given for doctrine, for reproof. What's reproof? You know how we reprove people? We don't reprove people with prophecy. We reprove people with the word of God, by what the word of God says. Praise God. What the scripture says. We look at what does the Bible say about the situation? Praise God. You know, recently there's been a person running around calling one of my friends a false prophet. I wanted to know for sure if he was calling him this. So I called him up. He calls himself a prophet. I said, what are you saying about this person? He's a false prophet. I said, why? He gave me a whole bunch of malarkey. A whole bunch of nothing. So this is a person that also has association with Andrew Womack. So I went to Andrew Womack and I asked Andrew, I said, now listen, this person is running around calling my friend a false prophet. Andrew said, what is a false prophet? I said, well, the scripture says that whoever does not confess that Jesus came in the flesh, every spirit that does not confess in 1 John chapter 4, that is the definition of a false prophet. Andrew said, that's exactly right. And that person is not a false prophet. He agreed with me 100%. If you're going to make a judgment against somebody, you go with what the scripture says. Praise God. My neighbors that used to live next to me, their son was studying biblical Hebrew here in Colorado Springs, but then he got called to be a pastor of a church in Texas. So my neighbors moved down there. Well, some of the people in the church, it was one of these, you know, community type churches. They decided that they didn't like him and they were gonna get rid of their pastor. It wasn't everybody. So they called a meeting. And there was a missionary lady in their church and she came. She said, I want to know about Pastor Greg. Has Pastor Greg committed adultery? Has Pastor Greg stolen money? Has Pastor Greg lied? No to all of the above. Praise God. You know, they were just angry because they didn't like his personality or whatever. One of them was mad because he got a new suit. You know, his mother, his dad is a very successful attorney. One of the most successful attorneys in the United States of America. And his mama bought him a new suit and they were mad because he had a new suit. Exactly. Jealousy. You know, it's time we get back to looking at the Bible. The scripture is given for doctrine. The scripture is given for reproof. The scripture is given for correction. The scripture is given for instruction in righteousness. If you're born again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. But you need instruction in righteousness. And you get instruction from the Bible. It says this, the very next verse says, in verse 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think, verse 16, then verse 17, says that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete, thoroughly furnished to all good works. Thank God for the Word of God. You see, we believe in the Bible. We believe that it is our rule of faith, conduct, and doctrine. We believe that the Bible gives us direction on how to live our lives. Praise God. And we need to learn to heed the instructions of the scripture. David said this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thank God for the scripture. One of the number one ways that God leads us, that we know God's voice, and that we know the will of God is because of what the Bible says. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said about the scripture. He said about the Bible, he said, read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out. Thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for the Word of God has changed my life. The Word of God, what's another way that God speaks to his people? Another way that God, that we know the will of God and God speaks to us is through godly counsel. We need godly counsel. You know, the Bible says this, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. There is protection in the multitude of counselors. We need counsel that, and we need to have people around us that we listen to. Years ago, we were having a board meeting. Greg Fritz happened to be in town, and so I had Greg speak with, Greg's on the legal board, had him speak with my advisory board. And as he spoke to him, he said, you know, some of these pastors don't listen to anybody. But he said, I'll tell you something about Pastor Lawson. He listens to everybody. And then he tries to decipher what God is saying. And that's the truth. I listen to everybody. You know, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 12. There are many voices and none of them are without significance. In other words, there is a reason that everybody's saying what they're saying. It may not be a valid reason, But there's a reason people are saying what they're saying. But we need to learn to listen. We need godly counsel. You know, the Bible says, with good advice, make war. If you haven't realized it, we're in a war. Yeah, there's some battles. We're winning. Our enemy is defeated. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Ghost lives in us. The word is true. We're winning. But there is a battle. There are some challenges that we face. If you do very much for God, you're gonna face some challenges. But thank God we win. Praise God. But we need godly counsel. And if I'm gonna make a major decision in my life, I'm gonna get some counsel. I'm gonna listen. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What's another way that God leads us? He leads us by the Spirit. The still small voice. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're the children of God. You hear the voice of God in your spirit. Praise God. You know, you can hear the voice of God. Another way that God leads us, the scriptures inspire. Amen. The Bible, godly counsel, the Spirit of God, right? The still small voice. Another one that he leads us is the peace of God. The peace of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart to which you are called. You're called to peace. Let the peace of God act as the umpire in your heart. Let the peace of God call the shots. Here's another thing. Not only do I get good counsel, I go with what the Bible says. I get good counsel. I listen to the voice of the Spirit. But if I don't have peace about it, honey, we're not going to do it. Praise God. We got to get peace on the inside. Amen. The last way, that I believe, one of the ways we can hear from God is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll just look at this really quickly. The first four verses, we're not gonna go all through it, but I'm just gonna mention it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 4 says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. God does not want us ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit. You know that you were Gentiles, heathen, carried away with these non-speaking idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Thank God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I wouldn't be where I'm at today without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the word of wisdom, a specific word of God's wisdom that shows us the future. Excuse me. Thank God for the word of knowledge. It's a specific word of God's knowledge. It tells us, you know, where we're at. Amen. Where we're going to go. You know, I regularly make decisions that concern hundreds of thousands of dollars. Amen. I need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I don't get it right all the time, but I get it right a lot more than I get it wrong. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that helps us. You know what? If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit will make you look smart. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. You say, how? You know, we're in this building. It's completely paid off. We don't owe any money. I just did the books. We're going to have a board meeting. We had $1.5 million at the beginning of 2020. The stock market went down at the beginning of the pandemic. At the end of the first quarter, we were down to $1 million. I was preaching here from this platform. I said, don't bail out on the bottom. Praise God. By the end of the year, we were at 3.5 million. The end of March, we were at 4.5 million. Supernatural increase is coming to this church. God is getting us ready for what he wants to do in the future. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. But you need to listen. Everybody say, listen.
Listen.
To the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And He'll speak to you if you'll listen. Praise God. Now today I want to just share just a little bit about how we hear the voice of God through the Word. I've already given you some examples. And there's two aspects of the Word. First of all, there is the Logos Word, the written Word. Praise God. In other words, how do I know what I believe about God? How do I know what I believe about human sexuality? How do I know what I believe about marriage? How do I know what I believe? I know because of what the Scripture says. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Praise God. Here's a John 17, verse 17. I love this. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, God wants to set us apart from the world. God wants to make our life look completely different than the rest of the world. But how are we going to know that? We're going to know that when we listen to the word of God. Sanctify them, set them apart through thy word. Thy word is truth. Another way that we know, you know, is just by the what the word says. Another scripture that tells us this is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says this, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the joints and the marrow, and is and the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God will tell you what's different between what's coming out of your spirit and what's coming out of your soul. See, your spirit is where God lives, but you have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The difference in Jesus, the last Adam, and the first Adam, was the first Adam was made a living soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about verse 45. The last Adam, Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. And a lot of times we're hearing different things, but the one way that we can discern is by what the Word of God says. And the Word of God will discern between what's coming out of our spirit and our brain. And you know, that can be the difference of life and death. That can be the difference of success or failure. So thank God for the written Word of God. The reason that we know right from wrong is because of what the Word of God says. Amen? You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Amen? That's the Scripture. Amen? I know truth from error because of what the Scripture says, right? Because we believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic. Hallelujah? But I also can know not only the written Word of God, but I can know the voice of God through the spoken word of God. In other words, I love this scripture in John 6, verse 63. Jesus said it this way in John 6, 63. He said, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing, and the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The spirit quickens. And a lot of times what, you know, I read the Bible through, and I read it through every year at least once. Sometimes I read it through in 6 months. But I read through the scriptures and I read 3 to 5 chapters of the Bible from Monday to Saturday every day of the week. And I just keep reading it and I keep reading it and I keep reading it and I keep reading it. And you know, it never grows old. It's alive to me. And God's given me many instructions and directions for my personal life from the scripture. When I was in Bible school in February of 1988, I was praying about where God wanted me to go and start in the ministry. And as I was praying in Bible school, God spoke to me from the book of Philemon, verse 2, and he said, the church that is in your house, praise God. And it just rose up in my spirit. And I had been to Kit Carson, Colorado, and I'd held a Bible study there, and there was a group of people, 5 families, that had a Bible study in Kit Carson, and I would go there occasionally and teach. I'd been invited just before I went to Bible school. But as God directed me, I called the person who was the head of that house where the Bible study was held. And I said, I believe that God is calling me to come to Kit Carson, Colorado, and to start a church. And so he asked me a few questions. And he said, I'm gonna get with the rest of the group. Some of them are here today. Praise God that we're a part of those five couples. Some of them are in this room today. Praise God. And so he said, we're gonna get together and then we'll call you back. In a week, they called me back and said, that's God, we want you to come. I knew that I was supposed to do it because God spoke a word to me. The logos became rhema. It's the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing, and the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You say, Pastor, that has nothing to do with me. I'm not called to pastor. I'm not called to build churches. I'm not. Well, do you know what? The Spirit of God has spoken to you about my family at times. The Spirit of God has spoken to me about my business. A few years later, after we were at Kit Carson, we had a house that was on the, that we had, you know, put on a piece of property, and we were building out the basement. And I was there, and I had bought a small feedlot, and I subsidized what I was doing in the ministry with cattle. And so it was in the fall and we were finishing the basement of our house and we were doing all the work ourselves. And because of that, I hadn't bought cattle in the fall. And cattle went up quite a bit between October and January. So the end of December, I started praying and Barbara started praying, God, should we buy cattle? Because they had gone up substantially. And as I prayed, God gave me this scripture in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4. It says this, it says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. I had a feedlot with no cattle. Guess what? It was clean. It's like in church, if you have no people, you have no problems. You have no sheep, you have no manure. You have sheep, you have manure. See, a church without any problems is a church without any people. Praise God. And so, you know, God gave me that, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. And I talked to Barbara, I said, listen, I think God wants us to buy cattle. And I told her, God gave me this verse, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. She said, he gave me the other half of the verse. Much increased by the strength of the ox. Cattle are gonna be strong. Praise God, you know what? I bought the cattle, I paid the extra money, and they all made money. Hallelujah, it was good. Praise God, God spoke to me about my business from the scripture. There's times God's spoken to me about my family from the scripture. Praise the Lord. A few years later, we were in a drought. It was blowing dirt. I hadn't bought any cattle. It was in February. Have you ever seen it? I've seen it blow dirt so bad that when you're driving down the road, you can't see the front end of your car. Guess what? That's not a good time to buy cattle. It was extremely dry. And I was praying, God, should I buy cattle? And as I prayed, one morning, God woke me up about 2 or 2:30 in the morning. He said, go read your Bible for the day. I happened to be in Isaiah. So I was in Isaiah chapter 30 as I was reading that morning. And as I was reading Isaiah 30 in verse 23, it says this, then you shall give rain of your seed, that you will sow the ground withal and the bread of increase of the earth, and it will be fat and plenteous. In that day, your cattle shall feed in large pastures. I thought, praise God, I am supposed to buy lots of cattle. So I had a $100,000 note. I bought a few over $100,000. I had $140,000. I had $40,000 equity. So I had $140,000 of cattle. I filled my feedlot full. Guess what? The wind kept blowing. And the dirt kept blowing. And the price of cattle kept going down. By April, it looked bleak. My $40,000 had went to nothing. So I had $100,000 of cattle and I owed $100,000 at the bank. That was with the Methodist banker. The Methodist banker was getting not so fun to deal with. He was from Wiley, Colorado, where I grew up. So just northwest of Lamar, praise God. So I went to the Baptist banker in Kit Carson, Colorado, praise God. And I sat across the desk from the Baptist banker. And I said, listen, I have $100,000 of cattle and I have $100,000 note, but I believe that it's gonna rain. I believe corn's gonna go down. I believe cattle are gonna go up, and I believe I'm gonna make more money than I ever made in my life. And that Baptist banker loaned me $100,000. I went down to my little Methodist banker that was getting a little itchy. Praise God. He said, "What could I do for you today?" I said, "Just like to pay you off." And I wrote him a check. Praise God. Now that's a miracle. That was the beginning of April. Then May 28th, it started raining. It rained all summer. You ever heard the desert will blossom like a rose? Those little pear cactuses grew flowers. Praise God, the grass grew, the corn grew, corn went down, cattle went up, and I made more money than I ever made in my life prior to that time. My $40,000 that went to zero went to $80,000. Praise God. See, if you'll listen to the Holy Ghost will make you look like a smart man. But one way that God speaks is God speaks to his people through his word. You see, the fact today is that God is speaking, but are we listening? We need to listen to the voice of God. You see, because God is no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. Now, I can tell you, every one of those times when we were in Bible school, we were praying. We were seeking God. We were asking. We were listening. When we were working on that house that fall, and you know, cattle had went up quite a bit. We were doing another project, so I couldn't do both. We were, when we came to that point that we could buy some cattle, we were praying. We were asking God. We were listening. Praise God. That other time I was praying, I was seeking God, I was asking, amen? God was speaking. I wanna close with this scripture in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief places of business, in the opening of the gates in the city. She utters her words saying, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make known my words to you." In your own time, read the rest of Proverbs chapter 1. God is speaking. Are we listening? Amen? If you listen, the Holy Spirit will make you look smart. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast with Pastor Lawson Perdue. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.